You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live, This Week, featuring news and commentary on This Week in Black Hollywood. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live This Week, Dario Kristen.
Hey, what's up, everybody? We're listening to Whitney Houston right now. As you know, it is her birthday weekend. Happy 50th, Whitney Houston.
Happy
we miss you, Whitney.
We miss you very much.
I'm your host, Dario Kristen. You're watching Black Hollywood Live. In the studio today, we have Courtney Stewart.
Hey, everybody.
And DJ Jesse J.
What up?
On today's show, we're going to cover a variety of different topics, including Raymond versus Raymond. Usher and his wife, Tamika, are in a bitter custody battle over their children. Mm-hmm. Also, we have Oprah Winfrey and her comments about Paula Deen. Mm-hmm. And actor Terrence Howard has been allegedly accused of beating his wife. So
he's a man.
We got a lot to talk about. But first, we're going to read the results from last week's BuzzMeter question, which was, should Little Mama join TLC? You guys voted. We have the results. 28% of you said yes. 63% of you said no. And 9% were undecided.
What?
I actually said no? I said yeah.
Okay, here's the thing, though.
I'm surprised
by
that.
At first, I really wanted...
You were on team, join.
I was. And then I had a conversation with somebody this weekend.
Oh, here we go.
And I kind of think it's actually a little bit disrespectful.
Why is it disrespectful?
Because it's just like... I don't know. If it was like Destiny's Child, who, you know what I mean? Like, the members were fired and, you know, replaced. It's just like, left eye... past. I don't know. I just think it's disrespectful.
I think it would be disrespectful if she was alive and just didn't want to do it anymore.
That would be disrespectful. Yeah. I just think they need to do a hologram.
I feel a hologram actually is not necessarily disrespectful, but I feel like at this point, they were obviously the number one selling group. People have been fiending for them. We got TLC, you know, T-Boz with a reality show. We got Chili with a reality show. People want the music.
But you're going to have T-Boz, Chili, and Lil Mama doing Waterfalls.
The new L.
Yeah,
yes.
But I mean, if she can embrace and really, you know, be Left Eye or it's someone weird. Like Left Eye, I think it could work.
I think if she's embracing Lil Mama and she's the L that TLC needs, then, and we want to hear their stuff. Like, I mean, freaking Temptations still toured when so-and-so died and they had to add somebody new to the group to sing baritone. Like, it's not like they're saying, this is Left Eye, this is Lil Mama. She's our third voice. She's a rapper. She can bring that energy to the group and we're going to tour.
It's no weirder than rap songs nowadays having, you know, deceased artists still appear on their records. We got, you know, Aaliyah on what? That's a totally different type of comparison.
It's a little
different.
I mean, but I'm just saying, it's no different, really. If you were a fan and don't want to, and you have that sound of music that you listen to, she's not necessarily current with what today's sound sounds
I wouldn't
like.
Be mad at it, but I understand the other.
But
the,
it's so many said no.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. It's your baby. It's like someone coming out and being
I want my baby back. So I would be quite happy if they go on freaking tour so I can hear some more TLC going on.
I feel you.
Because I don't want to see just the two of them up there.
All right.
Sorry.
I sure don't either.
I don't want to see the two of them.
They're going to be up there in wheelchairs like.
No.
Yeah, don't want to see that.
That's
a different waterfall right there.
That's fine.
That's a different waterfall.
What?
All right. All right. Well, thank you guys for voting. And, you know, it was interesting to hear what you had to say about Little Mama joining TLC. But our BuzzMeter question for today is, should Chris Brown quit music? Because we're going to be talking about that on our Hot Topics today. He's gone to the media and said that he's quitting music, which we'll talk about a little bit more. But we want to know what you guys think about that. Should he or should he not? You guys vote. We'll read the results on next week's show.
Real interesting to see what the fans
will see how that goes.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe it's a publicity stunt, but we'll see. We'll see.
Perhaps.
All right. So trending topics. What we got, Jesse?
Well, that's our trending topic, actually.
Right
but before
top.
We get
right
to
on.
That, we actually have a sad announcement. Chris Brown was rushed to the emergency room about 2 hours ago today, Friday, August 9th. TMZ reports that he was picked up out of the Record Plant Studios in Hollywood at 1:09 a.m. Suffering a seizure. He was supposed to be brought to the hospital, but this is what they're saying. A gossip site is saying he refused treatment and also turned down efforts to transport the singer to the hospital. So the ambulance came, but they did not transport him to the hospital, but apparently he went to the hospital because of a seizure. His team hasn't commented on anything yet, so I mean, this literally just happened. So hopefully everything's good with Chris Brown. I mean, we're about to talk about it. He's going through some stuff.
Going through it.
But yeah, this is first we got Lil Wayne.
Looking very healthy.
He has not been looking very healthy, and the alleged drug use could be the case. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Maybe he needs to quit, take a little break. Come back to it, you know,
rest.
Give himself a little time to rest and heal.
Well, I hope so. So he recently went to visit his mom, and while he was there, he just felt like things were different, and he tweeted some weird things, like, "This home seems vacant." Now, people don't know if he was talking about, you know, when you go back to visit your mom's house, it feels a little weird. I don't know if he was saying it literally or something metaphorically about himself, maybe. Because then he started tweeting, "Don't worry, mainstream America, after this X album, it'll probably be my last. Don't worry,
probably.
America." So then he says, "Being famous is amazing when it's for your music and talent. I'm tired of being famous for a mistake I made when I was 18. Mm-hmm. I'm cool and I'm over it."
You know, once again, sounds like you need some rest, but you know, you need a timeout, Chris. No, but in all reality, I mean, unfortunately, he's feeling what his thing was that
the
he did. It was
consequences
the consequence
of
him
behavior.
Of his behavior. I mean, unfortunately, that's the replication.
Well,
so.
Yeah, but you know, it comes also down to the point of, we were kind of talking about this before. I don't think about Rihanna and Chris Brown, the abuse anymore. That doesn't go through my head as a fan of Chris Brown, fan of Rihanna. I'm over that. The problem is the things that have been coming up since then. Now, I'm sure those things in between that incident and now stem from that incident.
Yeah.
But the fact that you haven't gotten help, the fact that you went on all this media campaign and apologized and said, you know, I really want to heal myself and help myself, but then you're fighting with the valet attendant.
Right.
You're throwing chairs out windows. You're every week. I mean,
yeah.
Courtney's sick and tired of it.
I'm tired of talking about Chris Brown.
It's never something positive or good. I mean, you making Kanye West look like just an upright citizen.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad because he literally was just on Matt Lauer. What was that, in March?
March,
I want to say it was. And we were like, hope springs eternal. He was looking kind of healthy and he was looking humbled a little bit. But then the car accident, and then you're trying to be on his team. Like, I'm not rooting against Chris Brown. I'm trying to be on your team. Like, that sounds a little sketchy to me too. But then now you've actually been arrested for it and booked for it. So something wasn't quite right.
You just see the weight loss.
Yes. And I mean, people are gunning for you because of your past, which you also have to be aware of.
Yeah.
And you have to behave accordingly. And if that means you got to go to the club in your house, then you need to go to the club in your house and stop beating up Drake in another club or whatever is going on. So I'm over it.
And you know, it's just kind of the music that Chris Brown's been putting out. I love it, but it's just take a step back. I feel like he's trying to channel Michael, but it's like, okay, if you want to channel Michael's music, channel Michael's energy. Be positive, productive.
Well, not all of Michael's energy.
Well, you know.
Stop it. He was not guilty.
Right.
Not all.
He was
just saying.
But at the end of the day, all I'm saying is Michael gave out an energy when he performed that gave almost hope. Chris Brown does not give that at all. He gives a damn good performance, but it's not...
He's an angry black man.
Yeah, it's just you get a lot of anger. It's like, yeah, I can crumb up and you know?
Right.
Calm down.
And
I hope he does. I hope he does take... I don't want this to be his last album.
You're too young to retire. Boo.
Yeah, I want him to take a break. Honestly, take a break for a while. Sit back. Go to a beach for a damn year. Travel the world and experience going to the movie theaters, being a normal person.
Meditate.
And then come back.
Amen. Go sit with the Dalai Lama and talk.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I hope everything goes well with Chris Brown.
Well, I don't think this is going to be the last we hear from him.
Oh, no. Hopefully we'll have an update very soon.
Because he and Rihanna will be back together next week, so I don't know why y'all playing.
Well, it'll be real interesting if he...
He going to Barbados.
Well, I mean, he refused... They saying he refused treatment, but if he really is in the hospital, it'd be interesting to see Rihanna go up into the hospital.
She ain't going up there. She getting her groove on.
She really
it's
is.
Carnival.
She is doing too much of that. All right, but anyways, talking about some shade throwing. Robin Thicke. Is in the news because apparently I just found out he was throwing shade again.
Really?
So this past weekend, Robin's been doing like a little campaign for his new album.
Yeah, Blur Lines.
And then right as Billboard was about to announce that he had the top song of the summer, in an article he came out and took a really deep dig at Daft Punk, Pharrell, and Bruno Mars. No?
Go on.
And I'm going to tell you why it's a dig. Robin Thicke came out and said in his unofficial campaign for the honor of Blurred Lines, said, you know, it has a nice tempo, it has a sense of humor, and it feels like live music instead of that synth and digital sound which, you know, Daft Punk has with Get Lucky and Bruno Mars' Treasure has. Now, here's why I feel it's a dig, and we're going to get into the second dig in just a second, but you didn't have to name anybody.
That's what I was going to say.
One. Yeah. Two, we all damn know the three songs of the summer. As a DJ, I know I can play back-to-back Blurred Lines right into Get Lucky because it damn well almost is the same.
And let's keep and it real. Pharrell is on two of the three. So, you know.
Boop.
I'm just saying.
So, I mean, I don't think it was a dig at Pharrell, actually. I think it was more along the fact of Pharrell, Pharrell gave me a better track. Yeah. In that sense. Well, I guess Daft Punk produced their own shit, but yeah. I kind of did take it as like a little catty.
I'm going to say I take a little. I know Courtney's got something to say against us too, but I think it was a little bit of a tag towards Daft Punk and Bruno, just because he didn't have, like you said, he didn't have to mention the names. Mm-mm. And we all know, like,
he could have said unlike any other
song or any other song that's out there right now. You don't
because
have to
I agree
get,
with
right.
that.
I agree with it too.
You didn't have to come for
go ahead, Courtney.
I mean, I just think he was talking about the fact that these are the three hot songs right now, and mine is different because of this. And there is nothing wrong with saying that Get Lucky is hot right now, Bruno Mars' song is hot right now, but mine's a little bit hotter because of this reason. I don't think he was, like, going for them or anything, because I think he's jamming all of them just like everybody else is.
I'm sure he is.
So I don't really
I'm sure
think
he is. But
day.
If you're jamming to your own like that, then you don't even need to reference anybody else. You don't need to talk about anybody
but
else.
But that's what you're talking about, though. Like, because the whole point of that conversation was talking about his song being the song of the summer. And the competition for the song of the summer are these other two songs. So that's why it was mentioned. It wasn't like they're talking about the general state of music today, like, and he brought up these two people. They were specifically talking about these three songs being up for grabs for song of the summer.
I'm going to kindly disagree with you, Courtney,
he's
but it's okay.
Sweetie pie.
So anyway,
you know, I get it. You like Robin Thicke, you know, I get it. I get it.
So then I was informed that apparently Robin Thicke made a special appearance on the Colbert Report. You know what? Our angry white man in the booth is not here today. We have a replacement.
We have a substitute angry white man.
I'm going to throw this to Steven. Steven, why don't you give us the other topic in which Robin Thicke kind of threw a jab at Daft Punk.
So we had Colbert Report, of course, is known for having great guests and knows for having great musical guests. And, of course, Daft Punk was scheduled to be a musical guest for Colbert Report. It fell through because they had a contractual obligation to make a surprise appearance at the VMAs this year. And Colbert, to get back at them, made a parody video of Get Lucky and had a surprise appearance by Robin Thicke on the Colbert Report as the stand-in for Daft Punk and makes comments as they are, oh, what a lucky change of events.
And what did he say when he called Robin Thicke to come out of the audience?
Oh, he's like, oh, you're that guy who dances with the naked ladies. Oh, I sing the song too. Oh, I didn't even notice that.
I love
so
Stephen
interesting that other people are kind of picking up on the cattiness. And instead, you couldn't get Daft Punk, so you pick... You can say, oh, you know what? Screw Daft Punk. You all want a surprise. He ruined their damn surprise performance at the VMAs.
So what you got to say about that, Courtney? Huh?
What I have to say about that is, once again, these are the top songs of the summer. So he couldn't get Daft Punk because MTV wouldn't let him. So he got the second greatest thing too. So they're all in the league together. Nobody was like a step up or a step down. We're all in the league together. We're up for the same battle.
But Robin Thicke's better. Anyways,
in my book he is.
Moving on. Raven Simone. We haven't really heard about her in a while, but she
Oh, that wig is extra.
Yeah, it is.
Get it, girl.
All right. All right.
So
Raven Simone came out and started tweeting some very interesting statements. Yeah. So she actually might have gotten some people very excited because she went on Twitter and said, "I'm very happy that gay marriage is opening up around the country and is being accepted. I was excited to hear today that more states legalize gay marriage. However, I am not currently getting married, but it is great to know I can now, should I wish to."
Does that mean she's gay?
Does that mean she's gay? I don't know. Is she just, you know, because, what was it, Brad and Angelina? A bunch of celebrities came out and said, we're not getting married until, I mean, a lot of people did that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been hearing that Raven's been gay for a little bit.
A while. So.
It's great to know I can now, should I wish to. I could see it.
I mean, she's never really been leaked. Linked.
Maybe she has been leaked.
Leaked. Lots of ways, but anyway.
In different ways. That's a different subject.
She's never really been linked to, like, a romantic counterpart of the male species.
Ever.
But she's also never really been linked to anyone romantically, really, because she keeps that very private. And in the interviews that she has done where she's been asked about it, I think she did an interview with Wendy Williams, actually, and asked about it. She's like, I keep it private. That's private. So it's possible, but I believe she gay.
You know, this is so sad.
Your voice, your whole tone changed when you said that, too.
I think it's kind of great.
I love it.
Go for it. Whatever she's happy with.
I'm just kind of like, what is she doing? You know, and I wonder if maybe that had gotten out there and it kind of tainted her in Hollywood, because sometimes some people don't be working with the gays.
But I mean,
name another Disney star that turned out to be gay.
Lance Bass, wasn't he on the Disney Mickey Mouse Club?
He was insane, but he hasn't come out. Did you just reveal
But you
that?
Know how many years I was waiting for Justin Timberlake, too, at that time? But
no, you knew Justin wasn't when he did Justify. You were like,
right, no.
We know you.
You just got a high voice. That's it.
So either or, Raven Simone, gay, not gay, we still love you.
Well, they said she had been rumored to be dating the America's Next Top Model contestant.
Yes. Asmarie.
I don't think that's true.
Right, well, that was in the press.
Why not?
I know her, and I'd never seen that.
Maybe would it was you on see the it?
GL. Yeah.
I mean, I would have.
Maybe Raven was like, my
first of all, we all know the gay community, and TB spilt the instant anyone smells it. Like, come on, that's instant coffee right there. Raven's mom was sleeping with asthma.
Well, she's very mysterious, regardless.
She is.
Nobody knows.
There you go. But what we do know is that Michelle Obama is still kicking it hard with her new campaign for a healthier America.
Yay.
And she's actually, this is kind of weird to me. I get the idea of it. She's a kind of a hard person to find different pictures for. I will say that. It's like the same damn
mad at that picture.
Seven.
And
you said you're mad at the picture. Why?
Yes, because she looks like she's going like, I'm going to like eat somebody.
Listen, Michelle Obama can do no wrong in whatever picture she wants.
I want her to look fabulous.
She looks good in everything as far as I'm concerned.
Anyway, all right.
So go to blackhollywoodlive.com to see Michelle Obama's picture.
We got excited about Michelle. All right.
So she's joining with Hip Hop Public Health to release an album called Songs for a Healthier America. It will be released September 30th.
Yay.
Okay. I love the concept of it. I kind of wish you maybe heard of Kanye West doing it and being, hey, Kanye, why don't we do something? Because some of the artists, all right, let me just get into it. So the first single is called Everybody, and it features Michelle Obama.
Hey, is she rapping?
Yep.
Hey.
Joined by songstress Jordan Sparks, MC Dougie Fresh, and medical expert Dr. Oz.
This is going to be awesome. What are you talking about?
It sounds like a hit record. What are you talking about, Jesse?
This is going to be amazing. rapping.
You don't like
Oz
it?
Is rapping with Michelle Obama.
I want to hear
I
that.
I want to
buy it just because of that.
The video shows children of all ages. They're dancing in between workouts, so they're going to show you like jumping jacks. Yeah. I just picture Barney. Like, honestly, the whole
it's like
thing.
Barney with Michelle
Dr.
Obama.
Dr. Oz. Like, I can't.
See, I don't think he'll be that corny. I think he'll actually flip something on us. Like, we'll be like, I think we're going to be shocked. We're going to be like, Dr. Oz needs a contract.
So the chorus goes, everybody tell somebody, it's your body. Come on.
It's my body.
Right, it's your body.
All right.
And then Dougie Fresh and Dr. Oz will trade short verses about exercise and cardiac health.
I can't wait. I'm excited.
So basically the people who are behind the project said that they want to seek and harness the power that music has over young people, you know, and they want to help them make better choices. I get that, and I love it. I think it's like, what is that, the Veggie Tales? It's yeah. These vegetables that tell stories. It's great, great. I love it. So they say the best way
You're so judging it without even...
You are. I can see it all over your face.
Okay, here's why I'm judging it. Because I don't mind Michelle Obama. I don't mind Dr. Oz. Even Jordan Sparks. Now, here's my thing. They said the best way to build a bridge with artists that they see on kids see on television and listen to, they're reaching young children, and then they make this comment. When someone like Dougie Fresh shows our youngsters that health can be fun and cool, we're winning the battle. I just don't know if our young generation knows. I think that's dope.
I mean, I feel you.
I think it's dope. It's maybe they're trying to teach them hip-hop.
Yeah, they could have. Maybe they should have had Dougie Fresh and, you know,
like Snoop Dogg. I could see Snoop Dogg doing it. Although he would have to do arm exercises because it would be like the weed smoking.
How to build up?
How to be stay thin? So other songs on the album include Veggie Love, Hip Hop Lean, Get Up, Sit Up.
Get up, sit up. You know that's how it's gonna go. You know that's how it's gonna go.
Hip hop lean. I can just imagine that. Hip-hop lean. Be like, lean back. Come on, everyone, arch that back.
That's right.
Arch it.
Okay, yeah. All right. We might have to work on the titles, but I'm still optimistic.
I think the titles are great.
I'm still optimistic.
I'm waiting for a TV show.
Like elementary kids, right? Like, this is not like teenagers.
I don't know.
This has to be elementary kids.
I feel like they're going to push it.
It's going to be elementary kids, and then they're going to have to remix it for the teenagers.
Yeah. I'm optimistic.
Rihanna's on the track. No. All right. I don't know. September 30th.
Two Chainz. We need 2 Chainz on it.
Exciting adventure.
That's all.
All right. Thank you, Jesse, for the training topics. Gabs.
A
lot of good information.
I'm really excited.
After burning calories.
All right.
So, but you got something for AfterBuzz, or you have a...
Yeah, and also, while you guys are out purchasing, Songs for a Healthier America, you guys can also make sure you guys check out AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm just thinking of, like, I just can't stop picturing Michelle Obama and Dr. Oz sitting next to each other, doing jumping jacks and rapping.
I can't wait.
I gotta see it.
So, I'm moving on.
All right, we're gonna move on.
AfterBuzzTV.com, check it out.
Gossip and rumors. Courtney, what you got for us this week?
Not anything as amazing as that one.
That was a pretty good one.
All right, so
September 30th, we're premiering a video.
We're going to play it here. We're going to work
exclusive.
Out to it. It's going to be great. Okay, so gossip and rumors this week. So we have quite a few things going on. Some rather unfortunate things going on this week, actually. So first up, we have Raymond versus Raymond. Tamika and Usher back in court. Actually, they're in court today. They're in court today for an emergency custody hearing regarding their sons. On Monday this week, Usher and Tamika's son, Usher Raymond V, almost drowned in their in the pool at Usher's house. Basically, what happened, the kid went down underwater to retrieve a toy and got caught in the drain.
Yeah.
And his aunt was watching him at the time, and she attempted to pull him out and unsuccessfully. Luckily, there were some people there working, doing electrical work on the house, and two men got in the pool and were able to pull him out. They were able to give him CPR, and he was awake and functioning when the ambulance arrived, and they took him to the hospital, and he's doing well now. Of course, the day of this happening, Miss Tamika, who currently does not have custody of these children, she has visitation rights, but she does not have custody. Usher has full custody of the two boys. Filed an emergency custody hearing. Basically, her argument is that she does not, primarily that Usher is not around very much and that she does not approve of the people that he has to watch them. And for that reason, the children should be put back into her care. Well, about 30 minutes ago, Judge John J. Goger said, Tamika, sorry, boo.
My Felicia.
Sorry, boo. He heard testimony from a variety of witnesses, including the aunt that seems to be sort of the thorn, I guess, in Tamika's side in terms of being a caretaker. She doesn't feel that she's qualified to be a nanny as much as people that Tamika would prefer. And the nanny, I mean, the aunt was interviewed, and she's been trained in CPR through a nurse. Her mother was a nurse, and she was trained that way. And so she's had some child care experience, obviously, over the years. And so the judge seemed to believe that he was impressed by her qualifications and that she was perfectly suitable to be watching the children at the time. But even though he ended up dismissing the case for Tamika, he did warn Usher and told him, quote, you would be well advised to keep your former spouse informed about your whereabouts and who is taking care of the kids.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
And I also saw that TMZ reported today that Usher had mentioned in documents that Tamika was a bad mother.
Yeah. Well, so there's lots of arguments around. The one that I am interested in is the fact that they don't have joint custody and that he, it's one thing to have joint custody and then to have one parent have primary physical custody.
Yeah.
But to only have visitation seems a little bit strange. Lots of people are like, well, Usher's in Atlanta, he paid off the judges, and da-da-da. I mean, it's possible, but
he got Phaedra Parks.
I mean, here's my thing, though. I mean, I guess I have a little bit of sympathy for Tamika.
Of course.
Just because of her loss of her other son last year. And the irony that this was something that was somewhat similar, you know, involving water and a pool, and I mean, the other one was a river.
They were in a lake.
A lake or river, but this was still water. I mean, she's probably freaking out, you know?
Of course.
And if Usher's not there, I mean, you know.
You're like, why isn't the kid with mom?
Why? It might as well be under my care. If I'm there and available, the kid should be in my care. So
that's why it's very interesting, because generally that is the feeling of a judge.
Yeah.
If you're not there, they would be.
Where does she live?
She lives in Atlanta.
She's in Atlanta as well.
They're both there. Yeah. So that's why. I mean, it's like I said, it's possible he paid off judges, and who knows? He has the money to do it, but I don't know how to make a girl. You might just want to be nice.
Ooh, I can't wait to watch that Eat True Hollywood story.
You know that's right.
Yes, just keep nice so he'll keep informing you, and hopefully all will be all right. But thank God, Usher's the
Do you think any of this is going to come out on the her TV show?
Oh.
The reality show? I mean, what else do we care about her for?
Absolutely nothing, but I mean,
I would think that it would, but he might have some type of signed agreement
connection.
That she cannot talk about anything on television.
Especially because they have very
That's what
young
I
children,
think that probably would be the case.
Which would probably be why, the only reason why she was able to get the show, like, because I don't think he would have signed off on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
she probably can reference him with certain things, but not specific cases. That's what I would guess.
Interesting.
Too much tea.
Well, blessings out to you all, and hope you feel better, little Usher.
And thank God that he's okay.
Yes, AKA single. All right. Next up in news and in court, again, Terrence. Oh, Terrence, how are you? You sexy, crazy man, you. So, apparently...
Wow, that was a description.
Terrence has been back. He's back, basically back in court this week again because he went on a vacay down in Costa Rica, apparently joined by his ex-wife in a moment of reconciliation and hotness that went very awry. And it is alleged that his ex-wife is alleging that he beat her to death, basically. Mm-hmm. Nearly beat her to death. And her name's Michelle Gent. And so she is in court this week requesting a restraining order. And she has been granted the restraining order until a hearing later this month. Terrence continues to confirm and affirm over and over again that he did not hit her, even though she arrived in court with a black eye. Yeah. He did not hit her. And that what really happened is that she is crazy and she maced him and some other family members. And we still don't know who hit her, but she also threatened to kill the family and him. So she's the crazy one.
Yeah. And then she was saying also that the reason that he attacked her is because the sexual advances that he was making. He thought that there was going to be more popping off on this vacation than what really was going to be popping off. And then he attacked her and said he was going to kill her. I mean, that's, I believe Terrence. I believe that she's a little cray. I believe that she is. It's something in the, every picture I see of her, it's something in her eyes. It's something in
but
the eyeballs.
But you kind of got to be crazy yourself to get involved with that.
Exactly.
I think there was
a little bit of...
A little bit of both.
You know.
I think there was like, oh, it's a free trip to Costa Rica. I ain't giving it up. And then he was like, you about to give it up.
Right.
She was like, oh, no, I'm not. And then she missed him.
But my thing is, too, that, you know, he's got to learn his lesson.
Like, what the hell just did? And then the family came in and it was just bad.
See, I can see her. I don't know why. I just see her, even with the black eyes, I see her like taking a table and like slamming her face on the table to show that she has black eyes or something. Like, I just, no, I feel like that's what she looks like to me. She looks kind of crazy to me.
Oh, yeah.
And then, another thing is, too, is like,
there's some mama's boy with, oh my God, what's her name? I can't even, when she cuts herself. Damn, I can't think of it.
Oh, I don't know.
From H2O.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah.
She cuts herself in front of the... Oh, my God. That's what that gives me.
But I mean, I'm saying... And then the thing is, it's not like we haven't heard this from him before. I don't even know why he took her on vacation with him, first of all, because the allegations from the previous...
I'm going to just say one thing. It's a cases, whole lot of... Kitty elsewhere.
Yeah, it's a lot. She ain't that good looking. She is not that good looking. Ain't nothing that good, as my daddy would say. Ain't nothing that good. Ain't nothing that good.
You never know what he's into.
Oh. I mean, sure, yeah, right. This show is taking another turn today.
I have no idea what that means.
This is Black Hollywood Live this week, After Hours.
Anyway, Michelle Gans, hope you feel better. Good luck, both of you. You should probably just stay away from each other. Mm-hmm. All right, next up, we got some angry parents up in Calabasas because apparently Will and Jada's school called the New Village Leadership Academy has unfortunately closed its doors. Now, it has allegedly closed its doors because of some outraged and hostile parents who found out that even though Will and Jada continued to deny this, but the New Village Leadership Academy was actually a covert Scientology operation.
What?
And what they were really teaching up in there was the study tech curriculum that was devised by the infamous L. Ron Hubbard of Scientology for life.
Wow.
So... basically, there's allegedly some lawsuits that are being filed, and the school's been open since 2008 and funded by millions and millions of dollars from Will and Jada. It closed its doors on June 28th, and even though Will and Jada have not commented, the rumor on the street is that the reason that it closed was because of the parental outrage when they discovered that the curriculum was actually very Scientology-based. I don't know why that took 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I'm like, why did it take so long?
Been a minute.
Like, what kind of parents are not doing their homework with kids?
I don't know.
Now,
apparently parents.
All right, this is where it's kind of a little bit sticky because I read that the reason they opened the school is because they wanted to teach, what was it called?
The study tech curriculum?
Study tech curriculum. They wanted to teach that. And that's the parents were fine with that. And what happened was, looking further into it, they were going into deeper teachings of Scientology. They were fine with that science tech research, but the deeper teachings is kind of what threw parents into an outrage. So, I mean, I don't know if it was like, all right, kids, we're changing the school uniform and you got to come in a cloak. Like, I don't know.
Right.
What it is.
Right.
But, I mean, I believe...
Yeah,
I'd be reading those conspiracy theories.
I believe it. Yeah, my conspiracy theory brain is going. I believe it.
So. You know what?
I ain't saying nothing about Scientology.
Sure enough.
I
want to drive home safe.
I was just about to say that. I was like, I don't want my car
breaks. You know what? Shame on them for shutting that school.
I don't want my car brakes to suddenly stop working on the 405 today.
I'm fine. I'm good.
I'm good. Love Scientology.
Love to you all.
Love Scientology.
Hope your kids are in a better school this year.
And I really can't wait to hear what Will and Jade are going to say about it.
I don't know.
They're going to be like, no.
They're not going to. I bet you they don't say anything. They probably won't.
They probably won't talk about it.
They probably won't talk about it.
Yeah. Unless they're getting sued and then it becomes public record.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Anyway, lastly, on this lovely day where we celebrate the memory of the beautiful and wonderful Whitney Houston, we got Miss Sissy Houston in the news again for the first time in a while, I guess. As some of you may or may not know, there's been quite a bit of a rift between Miss Sissy Houston, the mother of the wonderful Whitney Houston, and her beautiful granddaughter, Bobby Christina. The rift has come for a variety of reasons. Bobby Christina wanted to marry her brother. Sissy writing a book called Remembering Whitney, and a variety of other things. But Sissy wrote an open letter to Bobby Christina, and it's posted online everywhere for all of those out there for you to read.
These damn open letters.
You know?
It's a lot of open letters in the last couple
weeks. It's a lot of open letters, and at first it's kind of like, why? But, I mean, in the end, the letter just expresses to her daughter, to her granddaughter, that she loves her, that writing Remembering Whitney was simply her way of trying to share with the world who she felt Whitney really was and not just what everybody saw with the drugs and the mess that it became. And she also specifically said to Bobby Christina that she has never, nor does she ever intend to, speak publicly about her personal life. Because one of the huge issues they've had together is that there's word that Sissy has said things about her marriage or potential marriage and other things that she's doing in her personal life, whether it's drugs or what have you. And Sissy said that's not the case. Come on home, baby.
That's
Come
your grandmother.
That's your grandma. So wish them the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bobby Christina, girl, she's been through some things. So
she's been through some things, and I think that we all were rooting for her to kind of come through all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we've been seeing signs of a little bit of craziness from her in the last couple of years. So, I mean, I think we all are rooting for her, and hopefully they can connect that relationship a little bit back together. Because
when does her book come out?
Ooh, I don't have the date for Remembering Whitney. No, I do not.
Because, I don't know, it's a Hollywood family. So, obviously, yes. In my initial reaction is, that's your grandmother.
Right. Yes.
But at the same time,
family
we all
can
see
do
the Jacksons and the Houstons.
I mean, that's true. Yeah. When you got that amount of money involved and just being born in the spotlight, it's a whole different beast.
Like, it'll look better for you if you and your granddaughter are, you know, I don't want to think that. Because, honestly, reading it, and it was a pretty long open letter.
Yeah, it was very long.
One thing that really stuck out to me was, you know, it tears me apart the things that they say about you when you have nothing to do with your mother's career.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It seemed heartfelt, but, you know, you get to also look
heartfelt.
At the other.
I thought it was heartfelt.
And she seems very no-nonsense. She doesn't, I mean,
that's
even though
sister,
her daughter is,
yeah.
you know, she's old school. Like, she doesn't have
She was
that
like
energy.
That with Whitney.
Yes.
You know? So.
But at the same time now, let's all remember how she felt about Whitney in the alleged lesbian relationship. So I can just imagine what she thinks about Bobby Christina and her brother.
But once again, she's old school.
She's not been that her entire existence. Mm-hmm.
Right. She has stayed consistent to who she is.
Yeah.
From what we've
so
seen
it seems like
process.
Bobby Christina, if nothing else, you can trust that she's going to be what she's going to be.
Yeah. And she doesn't want to see her granddaughter do the same thing her daughter just did.
That's what she
know?
Said right. in the letter also. So good luck, guys.
Good luck.
Think Woo! About your mom in positive ways, and hopefully you come out on the other side.
That's right.
Feeling great.
Feeling great.
Just like Michelle Obama will be September 30th.
Doing no mess of sauce. Well, girl, you should get in the
exactly.
video.
Exactly. Is that all you got for us for
That's
Gossip and Rumors?
That's all I got this week for Gossip and Rumors.
All right. Well, thank you, Courtney. Before we go to the final topics of the hot topics this week, we want to remind you guys to go to iTunes, go to all of our Black Hollywood Live shows. We have This Week, Portraits, Stand Up, Sit Down, Fashion 411, BHL Athletes. Go and give us a rating. Let us know what you guys are thinking about us. We definitely pay attention to all of that information. We want to continue to improve on the shows, make them the best shows possible for you so you can continuously enjoy them and we can give you the program that you want. So go to iTunes, look up BlackHollywoodLive.com, or excuse me, Black Hollywood Live Shows, and give us a ratings and comment. Thanks. All right, now on to hot topics.
Paula Deen is a robot.
The best picture ever.
Oprah
both
Winfrey.
Look like robots.
Right. Well, we know that the Butler's coming out in the next couple weeks with
yes.
Oprah starring in it. Well, she's been doing a lot of press junkets lately, going around to different cities and talking mm-hmm. about the movie. And one question that was brought back up to her was Paula Deen.
Well, of course.
And her viewpoints about Paula Deen.
Oh, dang.
So we, as we know, Oprah interviewed Paula Deen on her Oprah's Next Chapter, I think earlier this year.
Yeah, it was
earlier this year.
Yeah.
And she even spent the night at Paula Deen's house. Like
on her plantation.
On her plantation.
Hey, you got to be sleeping in a big house, girl.
That's right. But
what you heard from Chow Dong Yang.
Wow.
Right
on
Chong.
Wow.
Oprah's in the house, y'all.
Oprah's in the house, y'all. All right. Well, anyway, when she was asked about, you know, Paula Deen and Paula's latest time in the news with her comments about black people.
she said about black people.
She said in the very beginning, I tried to reach her and then decided to stay out of it. As I saw it blowing up, she said, in time, she will be fine. For now, it's all just kind of sad.
Yeah.
That was her first initial comment.
What an Oprah statement.
What an Oprah statement. which is, you know, but I feel it, though. I appreciate her statement because she said, listen, this is what I translated from that. Listen, it was getting a little bit too.
It was getting real messy.
It's getting real heavy. I ain't messing up this Oprah brand. So you do you, Paula, and we'll connect later. That's the Dario interpretation of what I think that statement was.
I heard the first comment and I said, you know what?
That's not
everyone
Paula.
Can't everybody just, you know, slips. Criticize her. Then I heard that report and I was like, oh.
And then so-and-so suing and then the restaurant suing.
You on your own.
You on your own.
But does anyone else, I know she's in The Butler. But does anyone else find it really weird, Oprah doing press junkets?
It is.
Like, I just feel like Oprah should not be...
But she has to.
Talk to. She does not have to. She is
Oprah.
She
has to because she wants the movie to
succeed. She wants the movie to succeed.
And she's the biggest name on that movie.
That's true.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's just weird. You know, we talked about Terrence Howard earlier. And remember, like, 3 months ago, he had made the statement to TMZ about Oprah's breast in the movie. I can't wait to see Harpo's cleavage in the movie. And I heard he gets nasty with it.
So I just want to
see it.
I was really just sitting thinking the other day, it was like, who the hell was it that agreed about Oprah and her sexiness? And now it just came
to me. I'm telling you, I think the Harpo's sexy. I think Harpo's sexy.
I get it.
You know, hey. Listen,
it's
all right.
Mother Earth.
So also, you know, we've been talking about the N-word a lot. She's Mother Earth. She is Sister
She's
Earth.
Mother.
She's Sister Mother Earth. So we've been talking about the N-word a lot on our Hot Topics the last couple of weeks. And Oprah was also asked, you know, what her thoughts were if she was ever called the N-word. And this is what Oprah had to say about that. Nobody in their right mind is going to call me the N-word.
Excel.
That's all I really need to read, actually.
Hilarious.
But I'm gonna read the rest of it. You know, you see those fools on Twitter say ridiculous things, but nobody in their right mind is gonna do that to my face because true racism is being able to move power to have power over somebody. Oprah explained. So that does not happen my way.
True.
Right.
Amen.
As she goes
she
and sleeps on her billions of dollars.
Yep.
And I found it also interesting because she recently was interviewed on Entertainment Tonight and they were talking about her going to Tina Turner's wedding in Zurich, Switzerland.
Yes.
And she was saying a story about racism there and she was saying how she was in a store and it was her and Gail and she said that she was looking for a specific purse. And the salesperson there clearly didn't recognize Harpo because she asked for a very specific person. The salesperson told her, no, I'm not going to give you that purse. It's too expensive for you. And Oprah's like, no. You know, Oprah said that she thought maybe she didn't understand what I was asking. And she asked again, like, no, I want to see this person. The salesperson kept trying to get her to buy a cheaper purse. And she eventually said, you can't afford this purse. Oprah said that she left the store location because she figured that if she bought anything from that store that the person would still get the sales commission and she wanted to make sure that they didn't get any money. And she didn't want to make a big deal about it, but racism is real still.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, that store has come out and commented, even though Oprah did not name the store.
She did not name the store.
And the store commented that it was a misunderstanding and that the sales girl was just trying to show her the ostrich options and the suede options.
Ostrich versus suede. Get your life. First of all, Oprah, why are you trying to buy ostrich?
She wasn't. Showing her the other.
She was showing her.
She was just trying to give her the other option. Yeah. She wasn't telling her she could not have the one that she wanted.
All right. So
the girl didn't. I think the issue was she's Italian, but speaks a little bit of English.
A little bit of English.
And
yeah.
So there was also a language issue.
Yes, she did say that. Well, maybe that's the problem of the next story I'm going to talk about, a language issue, because Donald Trump is in the news as well, because he's upset with Democrat Representative Charlie Rangel, because he said that Charlie is able to use the word cracker, but Paula Deen has been slandered for using the N-word. So
crucified
was his exact words. Yes, Trump was on Fox and Friends earlier this week, and
that was your first problem.
Your first problem. Let's start there. And he was complaining because Charles Rangel had recently made a comment about the Tea Party conservatives, saying that they were white crackers. So Trump is saying, you know, if you're a Republican and you make the same statement, that your life is basically over. He said Paula Deen, as Jesse said, was absolutely crucified. He says she recently admitted to using the N-word years ago, and as a result of critics have banned her, and she's lost most of her retail partnerships from her food and her Food Network show. So, you know what, Donald? I think that Donald likes to say things to provoke things just to stay in the media because...
I have to know he's smarter than that.
You have to be smarter than that. And I am a fan of Donald Trump's business sense, mm-hmm. but his comments that he makes sometimes are just idiotic. I mean, he's made several, I think, just
especially
in the news.
The whole birther situation in general was a problem.
You know, okay, I get the understanding of, you know, okay, this guy can say crack over her saying that. But at the end of the day, it wasn't that she even said the word. It was the context in which she said it.
Exactly.
You know, and it was, you know, him calling the tea, you know, oh, they're a bunch of crackers. Like, okay, inappropriate. Shouldn't have been said.
Yes.
But at the same time, you are relating to an entire group of people. I don't know. I just think he should have looked. I understand the Paula Deen thing, and part of me does sympathize with her. The more I look back at it and have heard Oprah talk about it, and you know, I look at it and
it's okay.
Crucified. I do think she was a little bit crucified. I will give her that.
Well, I think that they definitely made her an example,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
But I also think there's a big difference between how he used the word versus how she used it, and being a choice of character.
I mean, I don't think that Charles should have used the word per se. I think it was, you know, inappropriate to use at that time. But to compare it to Paula Deen is still, I'm having a hard time swallowing that one. It's not the same thing to me.
It's not the same thing. Can we stop pretending like it's the same thing?
I mean, I feel like we keep going back and forth about this all the time.
Go online, read an article, look up what cracker means, where it came from, and all that good stuff, and you'll get it.
Yeah, it's
not the same thing. It'll make perfect sense. It's not the same thing. And whatever. I think Trump just wants to be somebody to pay attention to him right now.
Yeah, he wants. When is the apprentice starting?
Is the apprentice starting soon?
Is he running for something, or is he going to be a judge on one of the Miss Universe pageants?
And if you're confused about the N-word, just walk out in the street and start calling people it, and you'll see what the problem is with using the N-word.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just start there. Do that, Donald.
There you go. If we're any confusion at all,
yes,
that'll work for you.
All right. Another story that made the headlines this week is we always talk about Black youth violence and issues in the Black community, but we never really see any stories about white youth violence and white problems in the white communities. Well, there was
there
a story
none,
this week. Well,
there?
No, I have a story for you, Courtney.
What?
So,
white fight?
Have you? There was a story that took place on Chris Hayes for MSNBC this week. He had the Gawker.com editor. His name is Cord Jefferson, who is a African American man. They were addressing problems in the white community, and Cord brought up a specific problem of how, when you look at media, how everything is focused on the Black problems, but there's nothing that's focused on other races.
I don't know.
So one of the things that was brought up was that there apparently was a big riot last weekend that took place
in Huntington. It was down the street from my house.
Huntington Beach, California. It involved several white kids. It was a U.S. Open of Surfing event. Gotcha. And apparently there were broken windows. There was brawling in the streets. There were 7 kids arrested. It took place downtown Huntington Beach. It was like all chaos. But guess what? I didn't see it in the news, and I live in California.
I did.
It was definitely.
It wasn't
it was
a big story.
Some local news. It was
maybe local
like
news,
a major
but
story.
It wasn't a major story. But what they're trying, what Cord is trying to say is, let that have happened in Atlanta. All right, let it have been an event at the mall where it was an outside event and there was a riot. It would have made headline news with Black kids fighting or
breaking
glass. It would have
been
a different dynamic completely. And I completely agree with him. It is, you don't see these type of stories, and you hear about them all the time, because another reference that he used was that if you look at a lot of the college campus stories of crimes that take place, majority of them, a lot of times, are white kids. He said the St. Patty's Day parade, there's a ton of violence that goes on there. There's fights in the streets. There's
drunkenness,
throwing up in the streets. He said all these things take place, but if it was an African-American event, you would probably see it more publicized. And a little statistic that I pulled up is that 84% of murders, white murders, are actually by white people, not by African Americans.
So y'all scared of the Black folks for no reason.
Y'all scared of us for no reason. You're clutching purses for no reason.
More than likely, your husband will shoot you before a Black man will.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I agree with that. As far as feeling the whole clutching the purse and all that stuff. However, I don't know if I can really agree with this story because, I mean, look, we just talked about the shooting of the school. I mean, you can go online and see tons of things. World Star Hip Hop is one of the main places you can go on there and see tons of Black on Black crimes that aren't being reported and making headline news. I just think it's where you are.
Yeah, but if you take a percentage, if you watch the news and you take a percentage of the crimes that are shown, you're not going to see, you're going to see more black crimes than you're going to see featured white crimes.
Last night I was watching Who the Did I Marry? All of them were white except for the black sniper. That was the only one. And those were all headline. I was like thinking of the names. I'm like, how do I know Joey Buttafuoco? And I don't know. I think it's equal. I think the media and people are hyping it up to be like, oh yeah, you know what? Yeah, it is just black people, being portrayed in the news like this. I don't know. I just think really look at the facts and really look at what's going on in your newspaper. As far as your local newspaper, because that was, I did hear about that and I wasn't around it or anything like that. I don't know. I don't know if I fully agree with that.
Well, statement. This is what Chris Hayes had to say, who is the correspondent host on the show. He said, you probably haven't heard much about the white riot in Huntington Beach. That's because the story of white criminal culture is not a story that mainstream media will tell you. But once you scratch the surface, these stories are everywhere that you look.
And you know, another one to kind of counter that is this whole Trayvon Martin thing with the law, the gun control law. The exact same thing happened a couple years back, except it was reversed. It was a white kid who was killed by a older black male, and the law protected him. And so, you know, when the whole I wish I could remember his name, but as that was it wasn't really publicized. Even when you Google it, you can't. It's hard to find news stories about it. I just think it's that he's taking something and ruffling feathers for no reason.
I disagree with you.
That's
I disagree. I think it's been a problem for a while. I think that it has been something that has not really been brought to light. And I agree that we are seeing a little bit more stories. You know, yes, the sniper incidents and you know, the school shootings are bringing light to those things a little bit more. But I still think that mainstream media still has a heavy focus on black problems versus other problems.
I think it's more an issue. Like, it's hard. Like, I don't necessarily know quantity-wise, statistically speaking. Like, are you covering black crime more than you're covering white? What I do know is that there are more black men in jails and prisons around the country.
That's true.
So that is, if nothing else, that's an expression of what we deem or how we value the crimes that are being committed.
Right.
So I think that's the bigger point of that story, so to speak. And I think also, like, when we see the frat boys like tearing up shit and peeing on the street and fighting at parades, it's all that's frat boys. Mm-hmm. They're just being frat boys. Yeah. But if it's black men fighting and whatever in the street, it's rioting, it's violence.
Yeah.
It's a different. So I think it's how the spin is put on the stories, not necessarily whether or not they're covering stories versus stories. So even with that, like, situation, I mean, I think there was one brown boy, I don't know if he was African American or whatever, that had been arrested for being a part of it. But it made me laugh because I'm like, that's the picture
the
that we
person.
Saw on
that's
the news
picture.
Of the one person that's been arrested.
Yeah.
So it makes it seem like that is what it was. But what about all? I mean, it's the U.S. Open for surfing. Not being racist, I'm down there. I usually go to it. This was the one year I didn't go, and I was glad. I usually go. And
good thing you would have been right on the front
page. Right on the front page. With your fro and all.
No,
represent Black Hollywood Live.
You see me running down PCH like these white folks have lost their minds. But, like, the point is that that's the one face that we get. The rest of it is just a crowd of white kids just knocking over stuff and tearing up stuff.
Right.
Oh, they're being rowdy.
Right.
They're not the violent criminals of that event. So I think that's what we need to be worried about in terms of how the media slants it and the fact that they showed that picture, but not others.
Yeah, and it just, I guess when I saw the footage, it reminded me of the story. We had a story a couple months ago where the kids were having the graduation party at USC.
Yeah,
it was just like a normal party. No, you know, just the only thing they had was loud music, but yet there's like 100 police officers, SWAT team, ready to break down this party for these black kids when they weren't even doing nothing wrong. They weren't rioting. They weren't breaking windows. They were just having a party. But that made the headline news, you know? So that's what it made me think about. So that, you know, I get your point, Jesse, but I still feel like there's a little bit more slant to feature and depict.
I just think it's slander as far as how the media has portrayed African-Americans. And then so when you do see, because I didn't see that picture. To me, when I heard about the Huntington Beach thing, the pictures I saw were all white people knocking shit over. I'm just like, this. Oh.
Yeah, it was the
it brings me
it was
to
the fight, it was yeah. the group fight.
It was the group fight.
It brings me to, I mean, I'm from Boston, so UMass Amherst. And right. I mean, let a Red Sox game win. True. Like, you know, it does. And now I don't go to UMass because I know those crazy motherfuckers, they will do something to you. It's intense. I just think it's what we see in the media, the movies, in music. And that puts something in our mind. So then when you see a picture of, you know, four African Americans standing there in the same position as the picture that we have up now, it, in some people's mind, triggers them to think that's scarier.
Right.
That's the sad part to me. I don't know. I don't know who you blame for that. I don't know what media source you blame for that. The news, or do you blame Hollywood? Because there are things that lead up to people portraying others like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
It's called prejudice. The people that are in power are not the people that they are portraying.
Right.
The people in power don't get portrayed as criminals even when they are criminals.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
They get portrayed as people that get to steal people's life savings and go on house arrest.
And then to even go backward.
In their $1 million apartment in Manhattan.
Was it last week when we were talking about the judge? I mean, you know, so, I mean, I see both sides of it. I don't know. I see both sides of it, though.
I don't know. It's an ongoing problem, but you mentioned the word prejudiced, and this is our final story today, kind of deals with that subject. We all were talking about the BET Awards a couple weeks ago. We were there, did some great interviews. Well, there was a fashion correspondent by the name of B. Scott. We know this person as being called a transgender correspondent, who was featured on the red carpet doing a lot of the interviews. And apparently, there's been drama right now because B is in an initial lawsuit with BET because for $2.5 million because B mentioned that upon doing the correspondence on the red carpet was asked to come backstage and was pretty much told to change his clothes because of what he was wearing. Initially, he was wearing a black tunic. Those fashion words that I just don't know about. A black tunic and pants, and was pulled backstage by BET executives and told to take off his makeup, pull back his hair, and was replaced with a more manly looking outfit in the sense of a blazer, kind of skinny jeans, and some slip on shoes versus heels and the original outfit. Now, what B. Scott is saying is that, you know, this was definitely a prejudiced moment for him.
Discriminated against.
And that even when he changed the clothes, he was still replaced on the show by Adrienne Bellone, who was former, you know, Cheetah Girl. And also she was one of the correspondents for the red carpet. So it's a little bit of drama right now for B. And we'll see what happens, but
I don't know.
I feel like B has got a good discrimination case going on.
I don't see that. I don't know. I mean, it's because you go on television and somebody dresses you, somebody changes your hair, somebody puts on different makeup. Like, that's just image on TV, in changing it and morphing it and making it whatever it is that TV station wants at that time is sort of the game. Like, I don't feel like in terms of discrimination he would have been discriminated against any differently necessarily. I mean, obviously we would theoretically say more than likely BET was like, you look too much like a girl, even though I think the other outfit was nicer. But
wait, the men's outfit?
The men's outfit.
The women's outfit is basic.
Not because it's a manly outfit, not because it's manly, because the color pops and the shoe pops and I like see your face. But if it's a woman versus man, like, I just, are you sure the outfit just wasn't working? How to prove that?
Go ahead, Jesse.
I see the, for me, one, the outfit doesn't work. The first, if you're hosting something and you're sitting here looking
baggy
basic versus all these people coming up in Versace and all this stuff, look at the right outfit. It just pops way more. One. Two, you know, the hair pullback. All right, I can kind of.
I would like the loose hair.
Yes. I can kind of see that. At the end of the day, I just feel like, look at Black Eyed Peas. I can't even think of what his name is, but I mean, they look actually very similar. One of the guys from Black Eyed Peas. You know, so I just feel this, and I'm going to say this because I don't know if he's doing it. If you're doing it to help the gay community, One, you shouldn't have done it. You should have said, you know what? They wanted me to change my clothes. I'm not hosting. I don't want to do this. I'm not doing that. And then you walk away. That's making a statement. And then ask them for an apology. Now, because there's money involved, it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. What's the bigger statement? Because, all right, for me, personally, I don't know if I would have... Well, you know what? Honestly, to be real, I would have changed the clothes, shut up, and I would have done it. And here's why. Because who's B. Scott? You are being offered... That's a big thing for BE, for a main corporate, for a huge network station to ask you, someone who is known as a transgender, to come on and be the host of the red car. That is huge.
That's huge.
That is something to be thankful for, because you are making a path for the gay community.
Right.
Now, you don't have any power. You're not anybody... You're not Oprah. You can't make a change. So you take this one little step... Okay, you know what? You got some dirt on your shoes. You felt like they did something. You suck it up, and you continue to go. And it is kind of the, okay, yes, what would you like me to do? Moving forward, because then allows you to be in a different platform than you were before.
Right.
To have a certain type of power where it goes, RuPaul, you think RuPaul's going to change? RuPaul's going to come on that red carpet as RuPaul, no matter what. But. So, I don't know. That's what makes me think that...
Yeah. And I don't want to diminish, like, what he... It is offensive that was the spirit of what they came with, which, personally, I think it probably was the spirit that they came in. Like, you too girly, let's make this a little... Probably was the case.
Probably.
But, at the same time, you're not any less transgendered in this second outfit. Your voice is the most important thing to be there to begin with. And you... I mean, B. Scott, like, there's nothing else that we know, that you are this transgendered person who exists in this blog space that is blowing up. BET can't take that away from you by making you change your clothes.
Right.
So, and I mean, even Oprah commented on being excited a while ago when the Oprah show ended so she could fully go natural and just be her hair, because she accepted that in the space that she was in, she had to be a certain Oprah. Mm-hmm. But as soon as it was done, I do what I want to do. And that's just kind of, and if Oprah at that level is making comments about it, B. Scott... And that's not to say that you should hand over your power to whoever and say whatever and not stand for anything. But you hosted the show. And I agree with Jesse. Like, you didn't walk away at that moment when...
I mean, that's a good point. I just thought it was a fine line. I mean, I hosted the BET Pavilion during the BET Awards. And they gave me a specific guideline on what to wear. Mm-hmm. But it still was... They gave me a structure for it, but it was still up to me to come in with a certain look.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I just feel it's just...
Does his outfit fit the guideline you were given?
Well, my guideline was a little... I mean, we're a different personality. I mean, you know what you're getting with...
But, Derek, said to you, you know what, this shirt isn't working for us, we need you to be in a brighter color shirt. You're not giving
the message. We need you in, like, a pink or a red.
Then I'm going to change. I mean, yeah, I'm going to change. But I think that... I don't know.
Does B. Scott look like a man's man in the picture to the right?
No, he looks like B. Scott.
That's still a feminine outfit.
No, but this is the thing. They hired me also because I do have a certain look of what I normally wear.
Yes.
He has a normal look of what a certain look of what he normally wears. So you know what you're getting when you hire that person. So then it's
Except
a fine line.
It's
like, Courtney, I don't want you to, you rock your fro. I don't want you to wear your fro. I want you to perm out your hair.
You don't think that happens?
I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying, like, it's a fine line because of who the personality is.
And go into it deeper, because you, as an actress, you've told me many stories about...
And there are certain people who are like, no, I'm not going to change my look.
Exactly.
But then don't do it.
Then don't work.
And walk away.
That's perfectly fine. And I'm not telling anybody to, like, not be who it is they're going to be. I'm rocking this hair right now because I'm in BHL and ain't nobody giving me crap about how my hair looks right now, because I get to wear it how I want to wear it when I want to wear it. Elsewhere, that's not the case, because this communicates something to people that every person that is buying this product is not going to want communicated. BET maybe didn't want all that is B. Scott to be communicated to their audience. That is their right as a company to make those
guidelines.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, if they gave him, like, specific guidelines that are specifically tailored to gay people, that only gay people are not allowed to do this, this, and that when they host shows, then that's something different. And maybe that's what's happening. Maybe that's why he has a case to sue them. I don't know.
Yeah.
But intelligence or educated guessing makes me think that probably wasn't the case. There was some unfortunate conversation where somebody had to go in and be like, producers is not really kind of on this. Can you soften it a little bit? And I don't, and honestly, like, I think that's the reality of television, that's the reality of film, and that's the reality of the fact that we are putting images into households, and there are certain images that sell, and there are certain images that don't. There are certain images that conflict with things, and there are certain images that don't. And when we choose to work in this space, we choose to allow our images to be altered to fit whatever it is that person that is buying us at that time needs.
And, I mean, he took the paycheck.
He took the paycheck.
We don't know.
Right. Well, yeah.
We don't know. Maybe he hosted and didn't take the paycheck.
That's true.
But if you took the paycheck, boo.
If you took the paycheck, but just even the fact that you continued to host, I get it. Like, just say, you know, you don't say you're doing this for the community. It's not for the community. You hosted it after. If it was for the community, you would have, like I just keep saying, you would have said, I'm not changing. Bye. I don't need this. Yeah. I'm bigger than this. I'm beyond this.
Well, we'll be interested to see what happens because
he may
have blackballed himself out of the industry.
I still love you.
Well, yeah. We still like you. Yeah. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks.
I can't wait.
Now, where can your fans find you, Courtney?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stuart Starlet.
Jesse?
At DJ Jesse J.
And you can find me at Dario Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you guys for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live this week. Don't forget to go vote for the buzzer meter question, which is, should Chris Brown quit music? We want to know what you guys have to say. We had a lot to say about that subject today. But be sure to tune in next week, and we'll read the results. Have a great weekend.
Woo, woo, woo.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Dario Kristen, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network. If you have questions or comments, tweet us at BHL Online or email us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. For more exclusive content, visit blackhollywoodlive.com. This has been a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.